Chapter 131. Departure for India. That night I knew he had a false and thankless heart. I saw a double meaning then, in Mr. Wickfield's scrutiny of me. I perceived, for the first time, the dark suspicion that shadowed my life. Apostrophe, suspicion, Annie. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said the doctor. No, no, no. Apostrophe, in your mind there was none, I know, my husband. Apostrophe, apostrophe, she returned. And when I came to you, that night, to lay down all my load of shame and grief, and knew that I had to tell that, underneath your roof, one of my own kindred, to whom you had been a benefactor, for the love of me, had spoken to me words that should have found no utterance, even if I had been a weak and mercenary wretch, he thought me, my mind revolted from the taint the very tale conveyed. It died upon my lips, and from that hour till now has never passed them. Apostrophe, Mrs. Markleham, with a short groan, leaned back in her easy chair, and retired behind her fan, as if she were never coming out any more. I have never, but in your presence, interchanged a word with him from that time. Then, only when it has been necessary for the avoidance of this explanation. Years have passed since he knew, from me, what his situation here was. The kindnesses you have secretly done for his advancement, and then disclosed to me, for my surprise and pleasure, have been, you will believe, but aggravations of the unhappiness and burden of my secret. Apostrophe, she sunk down gently at the doctor's feet, though he did his utmost to prevent her, and said, looking up, tearfully, into his face. Do not speak to me yet. Let me say a little more. Right or wrong, if this were to be done again, I think I should do just the same. You never can know what it was to be devoted to you, with those old associations. To find that anyone could be so hard, as to suppose that the truth of my heart was bartered away, and to be surrounded by appearances confirming that belief. I was very young, and had no adviser. Between Mama and me, in all relating to you, there was a wide division. If I shrunk into myself, hiding the disrespect I had undergone, it was because I honored you so much, and so much wished that you should honor me. Apostrophe, apostrophe, Annie, my pure heart. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said the doctor, my dear girl. Apostrophe, a little more. A very few words more. I used to think there were so many whom you might have married, who would not have brought such charge and trouble on you, and who would have made your home a worthier home. I used to be afraid that I had better have remained your pupil, and almost your child. I used to fear that I was so unsuited to your learning and wisdom. If all this made me shrink within myself, as indeed it did, when I had that to tell, it was still, because I honored you so much, and hoped that you might one day honor me. Apostrophe, that day has shown this long time, Annie, apostrophe, said the doctor, and can have but one long night, my dear. Apostrophe, another word. I afterwards meant steadfastly meant, and purposed to myself to bear the whole weight of knowing the unworthiness of one to whom you had been so good. And now a last word, dearest and best of friends. The cause of the late change in you, which I have seen with so much pain and sorrow, and have sometimes referred to my old apprehension at other times to lingering suppositions nearer to the truth, has been made clear tonight. And by an accident I have also come to know, tonight, the full measure of your noble trust in me, even under that mistake. I do not hope that any love and duty I may render in return will ever make me worthy of your priceless confidence. But with all this knowledge fresh upon me, I can lift my eyes to this dear face, revered as a father's, loved as a husband's, sacred to me in my childhood as a friend's, and solemnly declare that in my lightest thought I have never wronged you, never wavered in the love and the fidelity I owe you. Apostrophe, apostrophe, she had her arms around the doctor's neck, and he leant his head down over her, mingling his gray hair with her dark brown tresses. Oh, hold me to your heart, my husband. Never cast me out. Do not think or speak of disparity between us, for there is none, except in all my many imperfections. Every succeeding year I have known this better, as I have esteemed you more and more. Oh, take me to your heart, my husband, for my love was founded on a rock, and it endures. In the silence that ensued, my aunt walked gravely up to Mr. Dick, without at all hurrying herself, and gave him a hug and a sounding kiss. And it was very fortunate, with a view to his credit, that she did so, for I am confident that I detected him at that moment in the act of making preparations to stand on one leg, as an appropriate expression of delight. You are a very remarkable man, Dick. Said my aunt, with an air of unqualified approbation, and never pretend to be anything else, for I know better. With that, my aunt pulled him by the sleeve, and nodded to me, and we three stole quietly out of the room, and came away. That's a settler for our military friend, at any rate, said my aunt, on the way home. I should sleep the better for that, if there was nothing else to be glad of. She was quite overcome, I am afraid, said Mr. Dick, with great commiseration. What? Did you ever see a crocodile overcome? Inquired my aunt. I don't think I ever saw a crocodile, returned Mr. Dick, mildly. There never would have been anything the matter, if it hadn't been for that old animal, said my aunt, with strong emphasis. It's very much to be wished that some mothers would leave their daughters alone after marriage, and not be so violently affectionate. They seem to think the only return that can be made them for bringing an unfortunate young woman into the world, God bless my soul, as if she asked to be brought, or wanted to come, is full liberty to worry her out of it again. What are you thinking of, Trot? I was thinking of all that had been said. My mind was still running on some of the expressions used. There can be no disparity in marriage like unsuitability of mind and purpose. The first mistaken impulse of an undisciplined heart. My love was founded on a rock. But we were at home, and the trodden leaves were lying underfoot, and the autumn wind was blowing. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.